Picture a cold hillside in an ancient Ireland, wind sweeping across green fields. A teenage shepherd stands alone among sheep. He's not Irish. He's not free. He's a kidnapped boy who has spent years in slavery. One day, that shepherd becomes a saint. And centuries later, his story turns into a holiday filled with shamrocks, parades, green beer, and leprechaun hats. But the real story behind St. Patrick is actually very dark. It includes kidnapping, colonial conflict, religious power struggles, and centuries of mythmaking. And then, sitting right next to that holiday on the calendar, is something even stranger. March 16th. A celebration of a saint who never existed. A man who supposedly saved Finland from a plague of grasshoppers threatening its grape harvest. Yes, grapes. In Finland. So today, we learn about the real St. Patrick and the myth of the snakes, violence tied to British identity, and the extremely Midwestern creation of St. Urho. Plus a snack involving potatoes, cheddar, and enough butter to bring peace to any saint. So settle in. Because, of course, this is Murder and Munchies. This is the show where we explore history, crime, folklore, and strange stories humans tell each other, all while eating something very on theme. And March gives us a very interesting pair of holidays. First, there's St. Patrick's Day on March 17th, and the day before that, celebrated mostly in Minnesota and parts of the upper Midwest, is St. Urho's Day. One is rooted in ancient history, while the other was invented in a department store break room. Both involve ridiculous stories, both involve food, and somehow both ended up became definite cultural traditions. So let's begin with the man who started it all. So St. Patrick was not Irish. He was born in Roman Britain around the late 300s. His father was a Christian deacon and his grandfather was a priest, but Patrick himself admitted that he wasn't particularly religious as a teenager. Then everything changed. Irish raiders attacked his village. Patrick, who was around 16 years old, was captured, kidnapped, and taken across the sea to Ireland and sold into slavery. He worked as a shepherd for 6 years in cold weather, long isolation, endless hills. Patrick later wrote that during this time he began praying constantly. Eventually, he claimed to hear a voice telling him to escape, so he did. He walked roughly 200 miles to the coast, found a ship, and returned to Britain. Most people who escaped slavery would never return, but Patrick did. And years later, he came back to Ireland as a missionary. Which, honestly, is an incredible life choice. If I survived 6 years of sheep duty and managed to escape across the ocean, I would not be coming back. But Patrick believed he had some kind of calling, and that calling was converting Ireland to Christianity. Now, in the 5th century Ireland, it was largely pagan. So Celtic traditions dominated everything. The Druids held spiritual authority. Patrick traveled through the island preaching Christianity, and some people welcomed him while others resisted. Patrick's own writings actually mention imprisonment and threats. But Christianity spread, churches formed, monasteries developed, and eventually Ireland became one of Europe's centers of learning during the early medieval period. And during those centuries, Patrick's story grew into legend. So the most famous legend says that St. Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland, except Ireland never had snakes. After the last ice age, the island separated from mainland Europe before snakes could even migrate there. So historians believe the snakes represent pagan religions being pushed out by Christianity. Symbolism, not reptiles. But honestly, Snake Banisher is kind of a great branding for a saint, much more exciting than successful religious administrator, essentially. Now, centuries after Patrick lived, Ireland became the center of intense conflict with Irish Catholics, English Protestants, colonial domination, rebellions, executions, land confiscation. Those tensions lasted for generations. The most modern chapter of this conflict is known as the Troubles. From the 1960s through the 1990s, Northern Ireland experienced bombings, assassinations, and street violence. More than 3,000 people died. Peace only came after the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. Yet today, St. Patrick's Day is largely a celebration of culture and heritage, which history softened by time. And when Irish immigrants brought a St. Patrick's Day to America, that celebration then changed again. When Irish immigrants came in the 1800s, they faced intense discrimination. Signs often read, "No Irish need apply." St. Patrick's Day parades became a way to celebrate Irish identity publicly. Cities like Boston, New York, Chicago turned the holiday into massive celebrations. Chicago famously dyes its river green, which feels something like that started as a prank and then accidentally became city policy. But just then, St. Patrick's Day feels strange enough. The Midwest has to make it weirder, because that's how we do. So St. Earhose Day, March 16th. It's especially popular in Minnesota and in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where many Finnish settlers settled. So here's the twist, though, is that St. Erho never existed. The legend was invented in the 1950s by a department store employee named Richard Matson. He had created the fictional saint while joking with an Irish co-worker about St. Patrick. Like, if Ireland had a saint who drove out the snakes, Finland needed a saint who drove out the grasshoppers. And the story claimed St. Erho saved Finland's grape harvest by banishing the insects. Again, Finland, grapes. Very historically questionable. But I respect the commitment to keeping that storyline. Soon, the Finnish-American communities embraced the joke. Festivals began, parades, purple and green decorations, and a fictional saint became tradition. And speaking of traditions, it's time for the most important part of Murder and Munchies, which is the snack. And today, it is Irish cheddar boxy biscuit. A boxy bites. I can't talk today. I mean, I can't talk every day. So today's munchie is something warm, comforting, and extremely Irish. Boxty is a traditional Irish potato pancake, and these mini versions are crispy outside, soft inside, and loaded with cheddar. So you need 2 grated raw potatoes, 1 cup of mashed potatoes, 1 cup shredded Irish cheddar, a cup of flour, an egg, 1/2 cup of milk, 2 green onions chopped, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, and butter for frying. And then you're also going to make green sour cream. So 1 cup of sour cream, 1 chopped green onion, 1 teaspoon lemon juice, and a pinch of salt. Your instructions are to squeeze moisture from grated potatoes. And then you mix all the ingredients together and it makes a thick batter. You heat your butter in a skillet and you drop tablespoon-sized scoops and flatten lightly. Cook until it's golden and crispy. Serve with your green onion sour cream and an optional St. Erho twist. Top with chopped grapes and honey. Because if we're celebrating an imaginary Finnish vineyard, we might as well commit to the bit, you know. So now, while we enjoy this extremely dangerous potato snack, we need to talk about something that happens every single Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day, and it hits hard. Every March 17th, millions of people wake up and suddenly discover they're Irish. They put on a plastic hat shaped like a beer mug and confidently announce, "Yeah, oh yeah, I'm Irish, really?" Okay, because you didn't mention that the other 364 days of the year, but suddenly today your entire personality is top of the morning to you, you know? And the ancestry explanation is always something like, "Well, my great-grandfather's cousins once owned a sheep in County Cork." apparently accounts. But now listen, okay? Irish heritage is amazing. But St. Patrick's Day is the one day where ancestry becomes a costume. You put on green, you drink beer, and suddenly you're an honorary leprechaun. Which brings me to green beer. Green beer is not a cultural tradition. It's just beer with food coloring. Some bartender looked at a perfectly good drink and thought, you know what this needs? Neon. And America said yes, because that's how we roll. And sometimes, meanwhile, like back in Ireland, a bartender is quietly shaking his head. And the accents. Every year, people attempt an Irish accent after two drinks. And it's never good. It's always some sort of pirate leprechaun hybrid. Sir, you grew up in suburban Ohio. Please stop. But honestly, the enthusiasm is charming, because celebrations begin in a way for Irish immigrants to proudly celebrate their identity, and eventually everyone was invited to the party, even the people with inflatable shamrock hats. Which brings us to another thing as identity, DNA tests. If your DNA test says 2% Irish, right? Ancestry kits have created a very specific modern situation. Someone takes a DNA test, they discover they're 2% Irish, and suddenly they say, I'm deeply connected to Irish culture. No, you're lightly dusted with Irish seasoning. It's not the same thing. People read results like 2% Irish, 4% Scandinavian, 11% Eastern European, and somehow conclude they're Irish royalty. Friend, you're a historical smoothie like most of us. You're the leftovers of about 500 years of migration, which is true for most humans. But St. Patrick's Day is when the 2% of Irish crowd really shines. Suddenly they're buying shamrock shirts, posting Celtic quotes, and researching castles. Your ancestors were farmers. Everyone's ancestors were farmers. That's the human default setting. I'm sorry. But honestly, these holidays still connect people to heritage. Even if the connection is small, maybe we skip the accent for everyone's safety. And if you're planning to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, we have a few survival tips. Rule number one, do not trust green beer after midnight. Two, if someone claims they're part leprechaun, leave immediately. Number three, never challenge a Boston Irish grandmother to a history debate. You will lose. And number four, if someone tries to explain Irish history after six drinks, just nod politely and eat another potato snack. So this March, whether you're celebrating St. Patrick or St. Erho, remember the stories behind them. A kidnapped shepherd who became a missionary, centuries of cultural conflict, and a department store joke that somehow turned into a holiday. History is strange, legends are stranger, and sometimes the best traditions begin as a punchline. But thanks for joining for another episode of Murder and Munchies. If you enjoyed this episode mixed of folklore, history, and potato-based snacks, make sure you let me know, and I will continue doing these fun little spin-off ones every so often to talk about weird things that happen in our life, and yeah. Anyway, until next time, stay curious, stay snacky, and please munch, don't murder.